The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
This is what John the Baptist proclaimed. One mightier than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop and loosen the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It happened in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized in the Jordan by John. On coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came from the heavens, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
If you attended the Mass I said last week, or the Mass I said last week, you heard that I'm doing a homily series. So there's 3 weeks in a row where all the homilies, the preaching, kind of goes together. Now, last week was the Epiphany. Just a recap, Epiphany means God's revelation to us. Think about it, when you get an Epiphany, you figure something out. The light bulb goes off over your head. It's an epiphany. And God reveals himself to the Magi. And then also, today is an epiphany in which God reveals himself at the baptism in the Jordan. He says, "This is my Son." But I wanted to focus on these 3 weeks, not on the normal ways that God reveals himself. You know, the normal ways are scripture, tradition, church teaching. I want to focus on the unlikely ways, the ways that we don't always think about. So last week, we talked about through the natural world, through our understanding of science. Talked about the star, what it might have actually been, and how God uses the heavens, the stars, the earth, the world to tell us about himself. This week, we're going to focus on how other cultures and even the existence of other religions tell us about himself. This might sound counterintuitive, right? Because how is God revealing himself through the differences in the world? I thought Catholicism was the one true faith that brings everyone into unity. You know, when I was in high school, I can remember being terrified. It was weird, but I was scared of this certain class. It was world religions class, because I strongly believed in my relationship with the Lord. I strongly believed in the truth of the faith. And yes, here I was about to study these other religions. The number of religions were scandalous to me. How can so many different people encounter or speak about the divine in vastly different ways? I had a great religion teacher my senior year. His name was Mr. Timmerick. And Mr. Timmerick was a man's man. He was a Marine. He had been there forever. He was one of those teachers where you learn more about like the stories he tells about his life than maybe the lessons he teaches. One of those teachers. Great. But I do remember one lesson he taught. He made us read a document called Dominus Jesus, Latin for the Lord Jesus, in which the church in the year 2000 clarified what is our relationship as Catholics to world religions, and how does God reveal himself to us through these differences. So I'm going to read a little bit of it to you. Dominus Jesus says this, in his discourse before the Sanhedrin, Peter says the following, and so it's quoting St. Peter in Acts. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we are to be saved. So it's being clear. And then later it says, it must therefore be firmly believed as the truth of Catholic faith that the universal salvific will of the one triune God is offered and accomplished once and for all in the mystery of the incarnation, death, and resurrection of the Son of God. So the church was saying, hey, Jesus is the fulfillment of all people. This is where we are going. This is why we have baptism. Think of Matthew 28. Jesus says, go to the nations, everybody, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Baptism is necessary. So I was like, whew, okay, cool. But then Dominus Jesus says this, and Mr. Timmer kind of explained it. In considering the values which these religions witness to and offer humanity with an open and positive approach, the Catholic Church rejects nothing of what is true and holy in these other religions. She has a high regard for the manner of life and conduct, the precepts and teachings, although differing in many ways from her own teaching, nonetheless often reflect a ray of that truth which enlightens all men. Let me break that down. Basically, the church is saying, and this is our belief as Catholics, that while other religions are man's search for God, it's man's search for God, Christianity is God's search for man. Think about it. Deep in the heart of every human person, no matter where you lived or when you lived, what part of the world, what continent you were on, what culture you were a part of, there's a deep religiosity. There's a knowledge written in our hearts that there's something bigger than us. And so all these different religions prove that our hearts are made for something divine. And then God, after we searched for him for so many years, God came and searched for us. And that is Jesus. That is Christmas. That is the Nativity. See, this is actually kind of a proof of God's existence, these other different cultures and other religions. Because wherever there's a desire in our life, there's usually a fulfillment of that desire. Think about it. When you're thirsty, you know there's water somewhere. When you're hungry, there's food. We don't have desires that cannot be fulfilled. You have a stomach, and there's food to fill it. And so if we have a great infinite desire in our heart that will not be fulfilled by anything that isn't infinite, then there must be an infinite being who can fulfill it. I don't mean that all these other religions' doctrines are true. Like Muhammad is not God's prophet. Buddha is not God himself. And the wind and the sun are not divine. They're creatures. We read that in Genesis. I mean that the very existence of these other religions is proof of God's existence. Remember, the Magi that we celebrated last week were not Christian. They weren't even Jewish. They were Eastern magicians, like philosophers. They were foreign wise men, but they were open to God's revelation. They had this desire in their heart for something more, and they found him. This is why the church has never been afraid of other cultures or even symbols. Think about it. There's things that we have baptized, we brought into the church, and we're not afraid of it. Christmas trees had pagan origins. I don't care. Guess what? Because we baptized it and we said, you know what? It's going to point to Jesus's birth. The carnival season, the winter feast day in so many different cultures and religions, the sun imagery, and whenever Christianity encountered, whenever the church fathers encountered any culture or religion who worshiped the sun, we said, oh, we have a sun for you to worship. Not S-U-N, but S-O-N. The true sun. We're not afraid of other cultures and religions because every culture, every people's fulfillment is in the one true God, Jesus Christ, and his church and the sacraments. The church is not then a particular culture. We have a particular culture in Louisiana. And in a lot of ways, it's kind of a Catholic culture. But this Catholic Louisiana culture isn't the only one. There's other cultures out there that are fulfilled by the truth of the gospel. This is why the church can exist in the underground and hiding from communist Chinese government and still exist as the church. just like it hid in the underground catacombs of Rome. This is why the church can rejoice with the symbols of Native American tribal clothing and vestments. This is why you hear the Mass at St. Pius in our diocese in Spanish, and then in praise and worship at Christ the King, or gospel music at St. James on the River. Because the gospel fulfills every culture, is not afraid of differences. This is why the magicians from the East found their way to Bethlehem and laid their wealth before a baby, because that baby did not threaten to destroy them or their culture, but rather promised to fulfill that culture's greatest hopes. I'll end with a quote from the first reading from Isaiah that we heard, a great prophecy of all nations, all people, no matter what you look like, what language you spoke, whatever your culture is, coming together to this place, to this manger, to lay down their culture before Jesus. Isaiah says, "Thus says the Lord, all you who are thirsty, come to the water. You who have no money, come receive grain and eat. Come without paying, without cost. Drink wine and milk. As I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander of the nations, so shall you summon a nation you knew not, and nations that knew you not shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, who has glorified you."
Grace.
Yas.
How'd you like that homily?
It was magnificent. Again, I have not heard it.
Can you do some housekeeping with me?
Sure.
So I just have two reviews I want to get to, and I wanted you on the show as we listen. Review number one is from Marina F underscore 4126. And a 5-star review from, it says, from a student. So I don't know if it's your student or my student.
I don't think so.
I think it's my student because they start with Father Brad. So Father Brad is so awesome. I promise I didn't write this. This is literally maybe one of my students or former students. Everything he does deserves 5 stars.
I like how all of us who know you are like, ha ha ha.
Ha ha, doofus. The little girl who's fooled. I wish to be as great as you. Come on.
Why are you sweet?
That's sweet. This is a review.
It's very sweet. I know. It's very sweet.
Keep up the good work. Heart. Star, 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 star. That's 5 stars. There you go. It might be one of my PSR kids, actually.
Oh.
And why are you making fun of my PSR kid, huh?
I'm not making fun of her. I'm making fun of you.
Okay, good point. And then our most recent podcast, this is a great one, too. 5 stars from, I love this name, Toddler Town. I'm getting a frosty. I think this person gave this 5-star review while getting a frosty at Wendy's, because I tell
them
that's
pretty awesome.
But I pulled over my car just to write this review because Father Brad said to, just kidding, I'm a quarantine homeschooling hermit. This podcast is amazing because Trivia Night is something I enjoy immensely, but kids made it an incredible rarity, and then the pandemic made it a thing of the past. I've been following for almost a year, and it's been a joy in all seasons to listen to some really great, challenging questions, and laugh along with a ton of amazing guests and regulars, especially Grace. She's the only reason I know about the QP. You should give her an extra point the next time she needs it, maybe 5. This is a bribe. God bless.
Yes. Is this Maria? Are you Maria, Toddler Town? I hope so.
Mobile.
Yeah. I hope this is Maria. But anyway, if it's not, tell me who it is, because I want to know who it is.
And that's all, because we don't have any more Patreons, and we had a couple of emails, but people sending us, there's actually a big influx of questions, like listener submitted questions, which is really cool, and we really enjoy, and we're going to start putting them, and someone started their own trivia podcast, not like Catholic trivia, but regular trivia, and they're like an LSU student, and started another podcast because they listen to us. That's like really cool.
Sweet.
And we're gonna put his podcast on blast, not on blast, that's bad. On point, on front,
we're gonna
put his podcast on fleek. Okay, God bless, peace, guys.
Bye.